Welcome to That 80s Show. Hide your mogwais. We got water pistols. Do they work?
Sure.
Gremlins.
I know.
It's funny.
It is funny. It is funny.
It's Halloween month.
Like, how many mogwais does one have? I always
Depends what time.
I always wanted a gizmo.
We all want a gizmo. No one wanted a stripe. I wanted the one that dressed up.
Yes.
That embraced his feminine side.
Yeah.
That's the one that I wanted. Good for him. Good for him living his best life. This is That 80s Show, the little corner of the internet where we go to the 1980s. We strap in. We get into Corey Feldman. Let's not. I've been waiting for this.
We're hard Corey.
Oh, I like that. Well, Dari, you know, last week, as we know, Corey Feldman is on, been on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
You may notice I'm talking in the past tense.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we wondered if Corey's first dance was his last dance, and...
It was.
It was.
Oh, no.
It was, Dari.
So now I'm going to have to go and find it because it's for posterity.
You know, I really... We got to run the show tight these days. You know, very busy schedules. We literally got 45 minutes a week to watch, to record the show. I've got clips of Corey dancing.
Okay.
And I really wanted to show you so that you could be... in the eyes and ears of the judges.
Right.
Because Dancing with the Stars, of course, the judges last week gave him a very low score, and then it was left to the public. He thought the public is going to save Corey.
Just clarify, was he the star or the...
Okay. You know, we understand these shows, we use star in the very loosest sense. Sea Dog got... He got voted out by the public. It was a double elimination. Two teams went out. But, Dari, where there is Corey, there are stories.
Uh-huh.
There were accusations. Oh, it's getting quite nasty. As it always does with Corey. There were accusations going on, and it was dismissed at the time, that Corey had been missing rehearsals, right?
Yes.
And it was dismissed of going, no, just a conflict in schedule. I mean, what the fuck else is Corey Feldman doing? But yeah. I mean, what are you doing? You know, I think they specifically go after stars in this part of their careers.
Because they have time.
Because they have the time.
To rehearse.
You know? And no. He's busy. He's busy. But the brother-in-law of the pro, right?
Right.
He's chimed in and said... it was a bit of an uphill climb with Corey this season. They were regularly missing rehearsals, cutting short the rehearsals he did make. There were also reports that he didn't get on with his partner. So when he was there, no chemistry with her.
That's a problem.
Listen, any red-blooded male, you get on with this woman. I don't want to be that guy, but...
Okay, I'll have to look at the picture.
She is a very attractive lady.
Okay.
You get on with her. Unless you're so intimidated by her. But Corey, a comment, an Instagram comment under her post marking the elimination. Corey wrote, "I'm so sorry for any negativity the media is using to give the false narrative that our time together was anything less than enjoyable. And you know as well as I do that I was there 7 days a week for the past 3 weeks doing everything in my power to give you my best, even if the judges couldn't see it." That's from Corey on his Instagram post.
Did she confirm?
He's putting on a brave face on social media.
Okay.
Corey Feldman, much like we are riding his coattails for the SEO to stay relevant.
Right.
Who do you think's coattails Corey Feldman is riding at the moment to stay relevant? Think of an 80s person, a very controversial 80s person who was around, very big star the time Corey was a very big star, who is currently got a documentary on Netflix, has a brother called...
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
It's been reported that Corey has been dealing with personal issues that have taken their toll, most notably headlines regarding comments Charlie Sheen made about Corey in his Netflix documentary. But during rehearsals, of course, Charlie Sheen's documentary comes out. And we do like to have a laugh and a joke about it, but there are allegations in that and at the time that... So it's claimed that Charlie's documentary was a distraction for Corey. Corey had accused Charlie himself of sexually assaulting one of his friends.
Hmm.
It's an allegation that Charlie Sheen has always denied. It was a bit of a thing because the launch party for Dancing of the Stars was hosted by People magazine. And that very week, Charlie Sheen was on the cover. And this is alleged to have just triggered Corey Feldman. Now, you all know if you watch a documentary, you kind of know a bit more about that story. And if you go back in your 80s minds or go find your People magazine, your personality magazine, you can uncover what the story was. Corey Feldman has had a very troubled past. We know there has been... Listen, that whole era of child stars, it just ugly, messy, ugly, horrible stuff. But Corey, you know, we love Corey. We love Sea Dog.
We do.
He's a troubled dude, though.
Yeah.
Like, I really thought this would be one his redemption, but it's like he's just got so many kind of things going on that, like, even a shot at, like, back
something
into...
Something as light as Dancing with the Stars,
he turns it heavy. It's like, it goes, okay, dude, like... it's not that, like, you got eliminated from a show. Like, people are going to get eliminated.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
It's a silly dancing show.
You know, but now that it, like, triggers this trauma, has it triggered the trauma? Are you using the trauma as an excuse? Is this an insight? Are we psychoanalyzing Corey Feldman here?
I mean, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Everyone's talking about them, even though they've been eliminated.
That's true.
So.
She's a hottie, though.
Yeah, so I'm sure she'll get some...
She's
mileage out of it.
I feel bad for her. She put in the work. I feel bad for Corey. You know what? You got to watch these videos. He wasn't the worst. This weekend was One Hit Wonders weekend.
Okay.
And they did a dance to Baby's Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big butts and I cannot lie.
That sounds like not the easiest song to dance to.
Oh, they do a cha-cha to it. They do it pretty well. He does it pretty well. He wears an orange suit.
Okay.
You know, orange pants, a man who wears orange pants, confident in himself.
Mm.
But shame, poor Corey's always, you know, I really feel for the dude. I really feel for the dude and I feel for us because now he's eliminated. Mm. Now the only 80s relation we have is it's hosted by Cousin Carlton, Alfonso Ribeiro. So we got him. He's too clean cut.
Yeah.
You know, we need a bit of edge in our Dancing with the Stars. Dancing.
Does he do the Carlton dance?
He does.
It's his thing, right?
There was actually something about him saying, I was like, I'm not going to do it all the time because it's kind of like, I need another thing.
But.
Anyway, Corey Feldman, Dancing with some Scars.
Aww.
So, Dory, you and I, we sniffed something a few weeks ago.
We did. And those who smelt it.
I was very careful in the final edit of that show not to be accusatory, not to make statements.
Mm, not to be libelous.
No. But we were very excited when an announcement came out of a concert featuring Rick Astley, Kylie Minogue, Billy Ocean, and Sonia. Then started going, well, it's a once-off concert in Durban. None of them have kind of... confirmed it on their socials. We watched their socials for a week, subscribed to newsletters.
I subscribed to newsletters.
Even Sonia's.
No.
You did.
I didn't.
You did, you freak. You did. I know you did.
I subscribed to Rick and Billy because I knew that anything Kylie related, we would hear from back.
For a few weeks. And it was like, he didn't know anything. And at the time we spoke about it, we said, listen, Kylie Minogue does not need to be, because, you know, Rick Astley and Billy Ocean, they do go around on these heritage tours. They do cruises. Mm. There's a scene for that, right?
Yeah.
Kylie is not part of that scene.
No.
Kylie sells out like arenas by herself.
She's not a retro star.
Yeah.
She is a current star.
She'll do the hits.
Oh, yeah.
She'll do the locomotion, but she doesn't need to, right? Mm. She's been doing the things. She's right. That was suspicious to us.
Yes, the fact that it was Durban only, very suspicious, since no artists ever go to Durban.
So the promoters involved, none of the usual promoters that we know. We spoke to some of the promoters. They're kind of like, look, we don't know about this. Uh-huh. And it was said to be hosted by the Sharks themselves. They were doing, their stadium, the Sharks, the rugby team.
Now, you became a bit of an investigative journalist during this, right?
I was like, listen, this is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find out about it.
Yeah.
I would love to get into, you know, if this happens... We've been supportive from day one. Get us Rick. We want to meet Rick Astley, right? That's what I was after, right? But what I did suspect as well is that this entire thing was a Rick roll. Okay, because once you started going down the website, I did contact to get contact details to do an interview, which I did. But there were kind of too many red flags that I was like, oh, you know what? I don't want to be involved in this. I don't think we should be involved in this.
Mm. But did they reply to you?
So... let me talk to the latest press release story.
Yes.
Icons of the 80s concert featuring Rick Astley and Kylie Minogue cancelled. 2 weeks after it was released. In a poignant turn of events for music fans across the country, the highly anticipated Icons of the 80s concert, sent to showcase musical legends such as Rick Astley, Kylie Minogue, Billy Ocean, and Sonia, has been cancelled. It was scheduled for December the 6th. The statement, it was meant to be a collaboration between FX1 Production and Media and the Sharks. We wish to express our gratitude and sincere apologies to the public for their understanding. We also share in their disappointment alongside all of those who were eagerly awaiting this major event. This is a statement from FX1 Production and Media on their social media. Their social media, which just, by the way, only appeared the day of the announcement of the concert.
Yes.
Right. We've been in the game. That kind of goes, okay, all right.
Slightly odd.
They did add that fans who purchased tickets will be refunded. There was a lot of social media commentators who were saying, you know what, don't buy tickets until these artists themselves confirm that they're coming, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is good advice. Yeah. I think it's really good advice, especially when you're dealing with new promoters. You know, big concerts. Listen, there's a whole story going on about the boy band Blue.
Yes.
There's a whole scandal going there. People aren't getting the money. The company liquidated. That stuff happens, right?
Yes.
This happens all the time. And it's not people trying to pull a fast one. These things just happen. It's very complicated business. But yeah, I'm not going to give my own opinion. This is from the events manager of the Sharks. Whilst this outcome is unfortunate, the Sharks remain committed to working only with credible, reputable promoters to bring world-class concerts and entertainment experiences to Hollywood Bet Kings Park.
So is he saying this is not a properly accredited, legit? I mean, I'm reading between the lines.
They remain committed to working only with credible, reputable promoters. That is a very carefully worded statement.
It's like, we were wrong, but we don't want to admit we were wrong.
You know what the thing is? I mean, who knows? Because the legitimate name in the whole thing, who's got the most reputation to lose, is the Sharks, right?
Yeah.
That's a good organization. The Springboks played in their stadium the other day. They got a water slide. They got water slides in the swimming pool around their stadium. This is like a legit place.
Yeah.
And
so they were conned too.
Nobody is saying cons. Nobody says the word cons.
Icons
of the 80s. That's what the concert was called.
Right.
Okay. No one's saying that.
Okay.
And people will get their money back. They'll get refunded. That's terrible. I hate that shit because you know what? It means that no Rick Astley. That's what ultimately this leads to.
Yeah.
No Rick Astley. I was already plotting. I was already planning.
But we'd love to see those artists out here anyway.
On that 80s show, we love to go watch 1980s movies and related media. Dory, what do you have for us this week?
Paolo, you have mentioned this movie before. You might actually have done it as a recommendation, but I don't. Let's go with you didn't. I have been putting off watching this documentary for a while now because I thought it was going to depress me. It had the opposite effect.
I think I know what you're talking about. I agree with you.
Take a guess.
The Michael J. Fox documentary.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yes. I honestly expected to be crying my eyes out.
It's called Still?
It's called Still. Still and something like the Michael J. Fox story or something like that. On Apple TV, I thought, okay, I'm just gonna do it. It was so uplifting. It's such a great documentary. He is so funny. Still. He seems very happy. He's had a tough life. He got dealt a shitty card. Very young, and he has dealt with it very well. And also, I mean, all the things that we know, the fact that he's still married to Tracy Pollan, they got married in 1988. They still seem head over heels in love with each other. They've got four gorgeous kids. Like, they're like the perfect family, you know? But it's genuine. It's real. And I did find it really has made me feel less sad about him, his situation. It's so well done. It's so well done. It's made with a combination of like acted footage and actual footage from like from the 80s.
Yes.
They had footage of him backstage on Family Ties set. The story of the stories of how he got his roles and just even became famous, really, really interesting. I didn't know much. I didn't know much about his history. I just discovered him, you know, watched him on TV and movies, and that was it. I didn't really look into it.
Well, so, we kind of didn't know that in the 80s. I mean, there wasn't like as much media.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, there was the media, but not like this need to fill media all the time. So it's like
where would you watch interviews with people? Like, you know, I mean, maybe Oprah, if you were lucky, you saw an interview with a famous person in the afternoons.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you'd have to buy like magazines, I suppose.
And even then they were like, okay, what movie are you promoting? What?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't this constant need. Like,
not loads of like websites and articles and stuff.
YouTube channels, podcasts.
Yeah. He's so funny. He just makes jokes. Like even there's lots of scenes of him exercising with his, I don't know if he was actually like a personal trainer or a medical professional who was working with him to like work on his balance and his walking and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, at one point he's told to walk and he ends up in the corner and he's like, don't put Mikey in the corner. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. He's really funny.
Yeah.
And there were moments where I almost did cry, but like a happy cry, you know, oh, this is terrible.
Obviously, he's become a huge advocate for Parkinson's and done great work. And I think he's been honored so many times by decent American presidents and various people. And his story is like a real survivor story because, okay, look, he has all the means, right? So so that
I think that is also why he's managed for so long.
That's right.
Money definitely helps in this situation. Yeah.
But I think he also understands that and makes sure that other people can access as much.
Absolutely.
His relationship with his wife and that long-lasting partnership and, you know, especially in Hollywood and especially he wasn't, you know, I mean, you look at him and he's the boy next door, but he was as wild as the rest of them,
and he
right?
admits in the documentary that he was a total dick when he met her. And she was the one who said, you're being a dick.
And
that's what made him like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to just keep him on the straight and narrow. And I remember what you may come to this, but what struck me about it is when they talk about, when they go through the certain films that he is doing, when he started noticing the tremors.
Yes.
And how he had like Spin City, for what was the movie where is the bellhop in the hotel? So that was like one of his movies, his first movies in the 90s.
Yeah.
And his hand was always in his pocket, or he made sure that he never used his left hand, or he kept.
No, he always was doing something with it because his hand would be shaking all the time. So he was always fiddling with something with his hand. So he'd be like twirling a pen.
And it's all his manic. And it was kind of, and when you go back and think
manic
about
manic energy.
Yeah, you go, that was his thing, right? Oh, he's just this busy little guy. Yeah.
But they show quite a few clips from Spin City in the docu. And if you look carefully.
Spin City is like, you go, how did anyone miss this?
Crazy. And if you actually look carefully, knowing it, you watch, first of all, he's constantly doing something with his hands. He's constantly holding something. But there's one scene
shuffling
where
papers.
He's not holding something. And his hand looks like he's really trying to hold it still.
Yeah.
It looks like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
But you only notice it because you're looking for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't realize how long he had suffered in silence, in secrecy. I mean, so scared to admit it.
It was his early 20s that he started noticing, right?
I mean, he was diagnosed in his 20s still. So he started having signs, and probably his early 20s, was diagnosed in his late 20s.
Yeah.
Because he kind of ignored it for as long as he could. Not really thinking it was anything.
Yeah.
And it is crazy because I don't know anyone else who's had it that young.
It is really, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, we know now that Morton Harkett's been diagnosed. And an older, there's a bunch of people, but they're all much older. And just the way he tried to hide it and how much I think he was really scared of, you know, like what people would think about him. And that did happen, I suppose, because as soon as he came out about it, all the interviews went from fun interviews about his movies to, how are you doing?
And that's totally not him
and
at all.
He hated that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally hated that. It's a great documentary. Do not be put off by thinking it'll make you sad.
No, it like Dari says, it does the exact opposite. Mm. And it's actually, he's fun and he's silly and he's goofy. And
made me love him even more.
I always, you know, the first time where he has really leaned into the character of it, like and I spoke about before when he was in that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
And like... Larry David just thought he's being the biggest dick in the world. It's Parkinson's. It's just,
yeah,
because
he hands him a cold drink.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously, when Larry opens it, Coke, it explodes because it's been shaken. And Larry's like, did you do this on purpose? And he just gives this funny look and goes, I have Parkinson's. It's so funny.
Or he's stomping around in the apartment because Larry David stays underneath him and he stomps around. And Larry goes, why are you stomping around? No, these are my boots for my Parkinson's. It's just Parkinson's.
So funny. And you can actually imagine him like doing that in real life, actually. Yeah.
But it's taking the stigma. Listen, that's a terrible disease. Terrible, horrendous. Terrible disease. But I think to have like an advocate and a figurehead like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of Back to the Future stuff this year, obviously being, you know, an anniversary of it. And I think to remember Michael J. Fox, like, you know, there's kind of the two lives of Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. And I didn't know that he was filming Back to the Future while he was doing Family Ties. He was literally having... almost 20-hour days.
Do you never listen to this podcast? Do you ever listen to me?
And I
literally spoke about it last week.
Not last week.
I did.
It last week?
It was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was speaking about Teen Wolf.
Yes.
There we go.
Do you remember?
There we go. Anyway, if unlike Dari,
I have other memory issues.
Or like Dari, if you want to catch up on anything on that 80 show essay on Facebook, good time for a social media plug. Now,
yes.
Dari, let me talk to you about another heartthrob of the '80s.
Oh,
I do love finding movies that people are in this case definitely embarrassed about. Johnny Depp.
Ooh.
'80s movies. What was he in?
80s movies.
Nightmare on Elm Street, right? That's the big one. And then 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. 80s.
Yeah.
Everything else I'm thinking of is definitely
90s, right?
Yeah.
Now, one thing I got to ask, like, Johnny Depp, is he a good actor? Because he's been for 10, 15 years, he is Captain Jack Sparrow, right?
He was a good actor.
And then when he's Captain Jack, then he is Willy Wonka.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He took too many drugs. It broke his brain. He became one character.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So he was a good actor at one stage. Edward Scissorhands, he's Ed Wood, and Fear and Loathing. Exactly.
Benny and June
was another. Okay, yeah. So he was a good actor.
Yes.
And then...
Gilbert Grape.
Then his brain broke.
Yes.
Okay. In the context, we use it in what does Michael J. Fox say in Curb Your Enthusiasm as well? He goes... I've got a disease of my brain. You've got a disease of your mind. Okay, right. So too many drugs, Johnny Depp. Okay, but there was a stage as well where he was a shit actor. And this is the movie that he was in, his first kind of starring role, a movie called Pleasure Resort.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
This is long before Nightmare on Elm Street.
After Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
Before 21 Jump Street.
Okay. Because I do remember that Nightmare on Elm Street was his debut, right?
Yes. So they kind of go, hey, you're good looking.
Let's put you in this romp.
Let me tell you something.
I'm hearing a romp.
It's such a romp. He is so wooden and terrible. You know, sometimes when you watch these older movies or these like forgotten movies, their first start, you go, you could see the guy had something. Like Robert Downey Jr. Sometimes you go find the weirdest shit that he was in, but you could see he was like,
yeah,
you can see it, right?
Yeah.
Neither. If you had told me Johnny Depp was going to become Johnny Depp out of this, I'd be like, he's good looking. He's a pretty face.
Might become a porn star.
You know, that's it. He's going to disappear into porn.
Right.
But he did disappear into porn, I assume, but not directly.
Yes.
So him and his friend, Rob Morrow. Rob Morrow has
a writer, Morrow.
Actor. He was a Northern Exposure.
Great show.
Yeah. Also a big name.
Mm.
So the two of them are two horny college guys on spring break. And they...
Nobody's ever made a movie about that ever in the history of movies.
Exactly. So they go to this resort and all they're there to do is bonk. Not maybe one another at some point, but bonk woman, right?
Yep.
And that is the whole premise of this movie. Dari, even one of the official reviews from the 80s said, at least there are a lot of boobs. Like, from the 80s, right?
But the only thing that saves it.
You know what? I'll tell you something. It's a romp.
Okay.
It's kind of like, you know, all that. Okay, so they arrive at this resort. They don't worry about things like checking in, hotel rooms, whatever. They just want chicks. Right. They just want chicks. And there are lots of chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of chicks. And but of course, all these beautiful young women, they decide, no, we're going to go after the one that is a little bit older and unattainable. And they make this move. How the whole all the shenanigans start is they make a move on this one lady who you'll recognize if you watch. She does pop up in the Police Academy movies, but she just happens to be the girlfriend of a jewel thief called the Maestro, played by Hector Elizondo, right? Another big actor, right? So we're not talking shitty names here.
No.
With hair.
Oh, wow.
And that's the whole point of it, because they he walks in, finds this Johnny Depp in his room, goes, what the fuck are you doing here? He goes, oh, no, I'm your barber. I'm here to give you a haircut, right?
Okay.
Gives him a fucked up haircut.
I'm sure.
Okay. And then he's so angry, and now, not realizing that Johnny Depp wanted to bonk his girlfriend, he now wants to kill Johnny Depp because he fucked up his hair. So there's this so whole random. Chase, right? Okay.
Okay.
Other character, Andrew Clay is in this movie.
Yes, okay.
Pre-Dice.
All right.
Playing this philanderer who just wants to bonk everything. He's there with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't care. He's bonking everything. There is the maestro, the jewel thief, is there to steal the jewels from a rich old lady, right? Who, I don't know, had this effect, takes Quaaludes and gets super horny and then wanders around the resort trying to bunk all the cabana boys.
I thought Quaaludes make you sleepy.
Right. Hmm. Makes her super horny.
Okay.
Awakens her.
Right.
So there's her wandering
cabana
around.
Boys. Mm-hmm.
Cabana boys running around. There is a character there. Imagine Beavis, Butthead, Bill and Ted were all one character.
Oh my God.
And he just wanders around. He'll just randomly appear in places.
Right.
Going, whoa, grandma. She tries to bonk him.
Mm.
He's just that guy, right? I would have loved that character in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was totally the sort of
wasn't
surfer.
Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
He was a derivative okay. of that. Add him in. Him into that mix that I said previously. And what carries on, what then ensues is an hour and a half of mistaken identities in the best threes company format.
Nice.
People chasing each other in and out of hotel rooms, walking in on people in various compromising situations mm-hmm. as they're trying to run away from the jewel thief. You think they cannot do this for an hour.
And they do.
Where the jewel thief is, and they do. Mm-hmm. Because every room they end up in, another shenanigan, another scenario, another naked lady.
More boobs.
More boobs.
After boobs after boobs.
It doesn't have any of the kind of pervy, really pervy stuff like sneaky shower scenes or pretending to be other people's boyfriends like Revenge of the Nerds. It doesn't have that stuff.
Okay.
So it's probably one of the more family-friendly, you know, romps.
Yeah.
There was a quite uncomfortable story of the one one actress said, look, she doesn't want to do any full frontal. And I assume her being 20 years old was coerced into doing total full frontal. She had it in a contract and they tore it up, which is, but yeah, 80s, you're gonna go, it was the 80s, not right, but it was the 80s. You do see Johnny Depp's bum.
Okay.
Yeah, little bum. He's got a little bum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just shenanigans. Ends up with a fucking, the maestro, he's got a Tommy machine gun and he just shoots up the buffet.
Okay.
Nobody gets hurt.
Right.
Just fires shots, shoots everybody. But I'll tell you something. What's a romp? Johnny Depp and Rob Morrow hate it that they made a pact to track down every physical copy and destroy it personally.
But it's on YouTube, right?
Exactly. Now,
yay!
whether they destroyed every physical copy, nobody knows, but it is on YouTube for you to watch.
I'm so watching this one, actually.
It is.
I know I often say that, but this time I mean it.
It is, it's in that goes, it's not as iconic and as like era-defining as a Porky's or Revenge of the Nerds. Mm. I know you hate those, but
yeah.
They were what they were.
Yeah.
But it is fun. Johnny Depp is beautiful.
Yes.
Ugh.
No, I remember.
Rob Morrow, beautiful, but not like Johnny. Johnny Depp's even more beautiful than the woman.
Mm.
Everybody in this is beautiful. Old lady taking Quaaludes, wanting to bonk everybody. What's not to like? It's called Pleasure Resort, and it is yours for free from me on YouTube. You can take that to the bank.
Now, to the something bank.
Okay. Now, to complete our hat trick.
Yes.
Maybe it's all four. I mean, because Corey Feldman was an 80s stud. So to go for Pete, we've had Corey Feldman, we've had Michael J. Fox, had Johnny Depp. Dory, I bring to you Mahoney! Steve Guttenberg.
Old Steve.
In a segment I'm going to call Life Imitating Mahoney. Steve Guttenberg, great guy. Last we saw him, he's saving people from the fires, right? Not recognized, saving people from the fires. He appears on a podcast about a month ago, The Sackhoff Show, talking about how he got his start in Hollywood. This is so Mahoney. So Mahoney, right?
Okay.
So he finishes school, tells his parents, I want to be a Hollywood star. His parents are like, ah, fuck it. You got to get out of your system, right? You're going to LA. You got 2 weeks. If you don't make it,
2 weeks.
They figure it's a phase.
I mean, geez, Michael J. Fox's parents gave him longer than that.
No, they're like, it's a phase. It's a phase. Yeah. So he goes off and he's like, he gets an ad. He gets a KFC commercial in those 2 weeks, right? So they go, okay, fuck, he can stay longer. So he's now he moves to Hollywood, moves to LA, and he starts hanging around this is all Steve Guttenberg. I'll post up the clip, that 80 Show SA Facebook page. And he says he's hanging around the Paramount lot. And he notices that the security don't check anybody, right? Mm. People walk in, they walk up. There's no ID cards, there's no access.
Yeah.
They just kind of punch a card and walk in.
Right.
And he's like, watches for a few days. He goes, fuck, imagine the amount of people working at this lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking try this. So he goes to the stationery store, buys a bunch of cue cards.
Right.
Puts on his bomber for jacket. Now, bearing in mind that he's probably 19 at this stage, jacket's 6 years old. And just walks up to the gate, greets the skip, and punches the card.
Yeah.
And he walks in.
Amazing.
He does this for a couple of days. He goes, fuck, this is great. Wanders around the lot, finds an empty office that now he makes his office. Okay?
Okay.
So now he's working from the Paramount lot.
Right.
He's hanging around. You want to hear shenanigans? This is so Mahoney. So Mahoney. He wanders onto the set of Happy Days with the Fonz and just finds Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
This goes and sits around him listening.
Yeah.
Just trying to get advice. Another time he gets onto the set of Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 3-year shenanigan. He did this for 3 fucking years.
Oh, so the 2 weeks thing was like not a thing.
No, because he got the commercial.
Right.
He got the commercial and then his parents said he could stay longer.
Oh, okay.
And then when his parents, he's saying, well, I'm working at the Paramount lot.
Oh.
Parents?
This
Mahoney, Dory.
How is he surviving?
There must be bombs for money, Dory.
Okay.
Bombs for money. You're going to love this. He gets onto the set of Little House on the Prairie, hears Michael Landon and his guys, hey, we're going to the sauna, joins them, just wanders into the sauna with them. He passes out because he's never been in a sauna before. Had to be revived by one of the guys who's doing a cameo in Little House on the Prairie. But he said, like, he passed out in the sauna in front of Michael Landon. Nude? Would you have been nude?
Just give me a minute. Thank you.
Do you think Michael Landon was like a towel guy or like just, you know, Stairway to Heaven, baby. What was his show called? Anyway, you know what I'm trying to get at there.
Highway to Heaven.
It was Highway to Heaven. Oh, even better. You can go as fast as you want. What do you think would have happened to Michael Landon's hair in a sauna?
That is the problem.
Steve Guttenberg as well.
Yeah. He must have had like a mini afro.
I think we're getting sidetracked here.
Yeah.
By thinking of Michael Landon in the sauna. So when I said, like, but did nobody suspect you? He says, you know, people knew. He said, because everyone had a card for catering.
Right.
At the cant. And he didn't have one. So people figured out, listen, you're not supposed to be here. But you know what? They enjoyed his hustle.
Like, throw him scraps like a dog.
He said he never went hungry. He made a lot of friends.
His craft services over catering.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, and if you're Mahoney, remember, Steve Guttenberg, beautiful guy.
Charming,
yeah. Charismatic, fun. Yeah. He said, like, he thinks people knew he wasn't meant to be there, but they kind of liked him there.
Yeah.
And he said, when you wear a jacket, you get away with anything.
Yeah.
So every day you looked smart.
Right.
Right. It's like if you wear a high vis vest, people are just going to let you do anything.
Anything.
They can just assume you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So he said, and he said, people were just nice to him. He says, also remember the 80s, people were just fine. Like, you were just fine.
Yeah.
You know? Things weren't strict. We used to walk into the cockpit, for God's sake, on an airplane.
It's true.
He says one day, he sees Faye Dunaway hanging around.
Mm.
And she's very upset about something. And she calls him, you come here. Fucking shitting him out of her. She goes, hold on a second. You don't work here, do you? He's like, And he tells the story. So funny. He's like, no. Mm-hmm. She's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He goes, I kind of like just hang around the set. Like, don't get me into trouble. He's like, you're working with John Wayne right now, aren't you? She goes, yeah. Could you give me his autograph? So Mahoney.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm not going to. I'll give you my autograph, but I won't bust you. He's like, he explains the story. She says, I love your hustle. It's fantastic. And he kind of says, everybody that kind of came across said, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
He said, listen, this is my thing. I want to get in the movies or whatever I'm hanging around. And it was like, okay, cool. The fucking good for you.
Mm.
He even says like he would go around. He says at night, all the offices were open. So he'd just wander around going, reading casting notes, finding audition calls, finding call sheets and just getting
this. Should have put his name on an audition call sheet.
He never says he did that, but he had access to all of that. He knew what people were looking for.
Yeah.
And then, well, we all know how that ended, you know?
How did he get the role, though?
He doesn't really go into that. It kind of like just ends off on that. But I mean,
he just became so recognizable that people assumed he was working in the industry.
Listen, he just had an in. He just like kind of saw people coming in. He must have been like always learning, like seeing what people like, seeing what works. Also, he's super good looking and so Mahoney. I mean, this is straight out of Police Academy.
Yeah.
Right? Huh. So that is the lovely Steve Guttenberg, Dari.
We should try and get an interview with him.
He seems very... Battles with the technology. I'm not going to lie to you. On this particular interview.
Oh, damn.
Battles with the technology. But hey, we all will soon. We all will very... soon. Maybe you already do battle with technology.
I do.
Which we know. So thank you for finding this podcast. Right?
Yes.
Not easy. It's not as easy as putting on the FM dial. Not as tuning into 80 show FM. It's a trek. Dari, were you happy? We had so many. I mean, that was like the bedroom posters of your wall episode today, right?
Yeah, we did mention Morton. So yes.
Morton, Corey, yeah. Johnny Depp, Steve Good. We got everybody. Hey? No,
well,
Bucks and
no
Babes.
Wham, but...
Yeah. You know. Wham news, very quiet, but it's... They're unthawing.
Yeah.
Andrew Ridgely's unthawing. It's October. Yeah. Starting to...
Quiet on the Wham front.
No, it's starting to...
My alerts are very quiet.
Yeah, I know. Andrew Ridgely goes into like a hyperbaric chamber. Mm. And goes into like, you know, a sleep state for 10 months of the year and then he appears.
It's also a tanning salon, right? I mean, a tanning...
It's a tan can.
Tan can.
So Andrew Ridgely is either in a tan can or being unthawed, which I suppose you would unthaw in a tan can.
Yeah.
His block of ice, him in a tan can. Anyway, everything you heard on the show today can be found on that 80 Show essay on Facebook. And do not sue us, concert people, because you know what you did. Very, very naughty. Thanks for joining me, Dari.
Bye.
Goodbye.